Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So Graham, today we're going into the world of property.
We are, yes. I've never really been a property investor apart from in my main home, but this chap's going to be able to sort of get you from novice to sort of reasonable level within 26 weeks. So is worth listening to. We have Dan Norcross. Welcome, Dan, to the Next 100 Days podcast.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks, Kevin. Pleasure to be here.
That's good. Well, whereabouts are you from, Dan?
I'm based in Cheshire, a town called Frodsham.
Oh, yeah, know it well. Yeah. And so, okay. You're northwest based. Are most of the people that you help from that region of the country or right around the world?
Mostly from around this region. Yeah. In the northwest. That's where most of the properties are at the moment.
Right. Okay. I've heard that before, that the northwest is quite a good hunting ground. Would you classify sort of going into Wales and that area, you know, further along from you, or is it sort of the Lancashire, Greater Manchester? Is that the area that you're most focused on?
No, so I've got some in Wales as well, in North Wales. So I have a couple of properties in Connors Quay and Shotton as well.
Yeah. Okay. It's interesting that it's just that you had a short holiday in London, a weekend away. And what a wonderful place. Really, really, really surprised. I haven't been there for 30-odd years. We were genuinely impressed. So I think the council there are doing a good job. But anyway, I'm sure they don't listen to this. So, but you know, what can I say? But the thing is, Dan, you help people go from novice to, you know, a reasonable level of property investing. Or it might be being a landlord or managing property in some way that where you can make money. So is that your thing? Is that what you're actually offering as a coach or within your business?
Well, I'm not actually a coach at the moment. I'm on a coaching and mentorship program myself. Okay. I was looking at potentially going into coaching in the future. I'd call myself now a property entrepreneur. That's my title that I would call myself.
What does that mean then? I mean, when you're an entrepreneur, you're either buying something at one level and selling it another. What is it? What is it that you actually do to make money?
Right. So what I've got. So I started my property journey at the end of October last year. So just less than a year ago. I have, in that time, got 6 rent-to-rent properties. So they're rent-to-serviced accommodation, and I'm using those to service the contractor market. So yeah. I saw a post on Facebook back in January this year saying that there was an agency looking for 6 accommodation for 600 people for 2 years for a massive project. There's Shotton Paper Mill there's a huge facility being built there. Right. So there's labor coming from literally all over the world to work on that project. Right. So I took action pretty quickly. I'd been doing my training and my coaching and stuff. I've done a lot of the training. So I thought it was in a good place to get started. And this gave me a real boost, like an incentive to get started, really. So let me
just try and get underneath this project. Somebody's building a paper mill, a big one by the look of it.
Yeah.
And they'll need a lot of resource. They'll need a lot of people. They've got to be accommodated whilst they're working in that area.
Exactly.
And so it's sort of short term or during the week or maybe even 7 days. But the point is they still need to have a roof over their heads as opposed to going into an Airbnb or something like that. But that's an awful lot of Airbnbs for 600 people. So what is this? This accommodation that you've got, did you say there were 6 apartments?
Yeah, I've got 6 houses. I've got one apartment, 1 or 2-bed apartment, 4 2-bed houses and a 3-bed house.
Okay, and the occupancy for that's going to be for some time then?
Yes, it should be, yeah. Now, it depends on when the guys are going to be working in the area, because we had some that have been with us for 5 months. We had a 5-month booking on a couple of the properties. They left the beginning of last month, and then it took a couple of weeks to get those guys sort of places refilled with other people. but we've got them all out on 100% occupancy again now. So,
well,
all good.
That's got you off to an absolute flyer. But when you think about the actual property itself, after it's been used for a certain length of time, you know, it might have a little bit of wear and tear. I mean, how do you sort of manage that? Or do you just build that into the sort of price, as it were, that you have enough money to kind of repair things?
Yeah, I have a maintenance guy on call that I can call at any time if anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
And we just ask the guests that are staying there to give us an update if there's anything wrong and needs fixing. So and we get them out straight away to fix them.
So like a faulty shower or something like that, they'll come in and they'll fix that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, the other question I have about that particular sort of opportunity is that once the mill's built,
yeah,
and these people have gone on to the next project, what do you do with your houses?
Well, I had that in mind when I started. So I only took on a 2-year lease. So effectively, I'm renting them from a letting agent and then renting them out. So I'm a middleman, effectively renting them out to contractors.
Okay.
With the landlord's permission, because you need to have the landlord's permission, and it needs to be allowed under, like, if there's any mortgage on the property and things like that, there are certain rules against doing it. So yeah, I only got the ones in North Wales for 2 years because they're not really, in the locations they're in, they're not really a holiday resort, so you couldn't use them on Airbnb or booking.com, or you'd struggle to get the occupancy. Although with the Chester ones, they're quite close to Chester Racecourse. Chester's a nice place, gets a lot of visitors all year round. So,
sure. So
those I've got on a 3-year lease at the moment. So they will cover for the 2 years that we're expecting the contractors to be here. But there are other contracts going on in the area as well. So there's likelihood there's going to be more requirement for contractors post the 2 years. But if not, then it'll go on to Airbnb and booking.com.
So, forgive me, but this is kind of new to me. So if the price that you're getting is 100,
yeah,
and you've actually gone along to this agent that owns or at least is letting that property, so actually somebody else owns it, they're responsible for letting you go along and say, look, can I have it for 2 years, and I'm going to make this available to other people. So that you've seen the opportunity that they haven't, so it's your entrepreneurial nous.
Yeah.
But out of that 100, do they still take a chunk of it for themselves? If 100
is paid,
the total amount of money that you get paid, do you have to pay some of that back to the letting agent?
Well, I pay a monthly rent, so I'm effectively the tenant. I rent the properties at, in some cases, £850 a month.
Right.
For the ones in North Wales, the ones in Chester are like £1,250 a month or £1,450 a month. And then, as you said, like the £100 is not far off, to be honest. So the ones through an agency that we've got, we get just over £100 a night. So with the bills, it comes to about £2,000. So it can make about £1,000 profit a month for one property. And on some of the others, we've got direct bookings through the contract companies as well. And we can charge more than, we can charge £115 a night. So we're making around £1,500 to £2,000 on those properties per month.
Mm. Well, that's quite an interest. I hadn't appreciated, Kevin, I don't know about you, but I hadn't appreciated, you'd almost, if you spot the opportunity that the, shall we say, the letting agent, who might not be necessarily, they might be more passive, let's just say, they don't really see the opportunity, you do. And you can go along and effectively re-let it. Now, as long as they give you that permission, then that might have been a tricky conversation anyway, because they might have wanted to step in and move you out of the way before they agree, sort of thing. So you'd have to tell them, I don't know, whether there's an NDA or something. But basically, it seems to me that opportunity, Kevin, is quite a, I don't know, I haven't heard of it before, but it might be quite frequent.
I'd never thought of this model before, Graham. I just assumed that on the rental market, you were always renting to a tenant who was present in the property and would be taking rent for 6 months or beyond directly from the letting agent. But the idea of this short-term rent to somebody who's working in the area not necessarily occupying the property every day, because let's say contractors normally Monday to Friday. Yeah, it's a very, very different model. And you've answered one of my key questions, Dan, that said, how do you go from not being a landlord to having six properties in less than 6 months in the business? Where's the capital come from? But I guess you need no capital to do this.
Very little. Yeah, you do need some capital, so you got the setup costs. So typically to set up one of these properties, you'd need about £10,000. You need the first month's rent, deposit, a sourcing fee if you've got a sourcer involved, because some of them I did get through a deal sourcer, and then around £5,000 for the furniture pack and everything else that you need to kit out a serviced accommodation, you know, your pots and pans, your cutlery, literally everything, your kettles, your toasters, your air fryers, everything you need, sort of thing, TVs. So yeah, it's so just as an example for the Chester one, so it was 1250 rent, first month's rent, 1250 deposit, £2,500 sourcing fee, and a £5,000 setup cost. But I haven't put any of my own money into it, so I've got managed to get investors to finance these deals for me.
So, but that means that they're getting a return on their investment.
Exactly,
So,
yeah.
which reduces your, but then I guess up to a point, Dan, you're not going to be a pauper through this. I mean, you're going to do okay. So,
Yeah.
but then isn't the issue for you? I've now got the experience with six. So what if I had 60?
Exactly, yeah.
And is that sort of in your mind, Dan? Is that where you're going to go?
Well, I've started. So we were told as part of my coaching program to focus on one thing until you're successful, really. So I focused on the rent-to-rent side initially, and I've got all the systems and processes in place now. Excuse me. I've got a virtual assistant in Nigeria that helps me. Jennifer helps me with all the guest communications, coordinating cleaners, coordinating bookings. So really, for me, it's almost a hands-off role now. I
Yeah.
don't get involved that much.
So, what you're really saying is you're not much of a property guy at all. What on earth are you doing? That's, we should have got somebody else, Kevin. But no. Seriously, it does sound like, because otherwise you'd be overwhelmed with the amount of work, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But
So,
the smart Dan has got other people to help him, and isn't that part of the story here?
yeah, exactly. So I've gone on to bigger and better things now. So I'm looking at ways to get equity in properties and make generational wealth for my family and give me time freedom. So all of this that I've been doing so far was alongside a full-time job, and I actually finished work and retired and well full-time property now since last Tuesday. So but I've been able to do that with the other projects that I was just about to explain. So the other projects that I've got on now, I thought I've been learning about lots of different strategies, not just rent to rent. That's one that you can just start to get quick cash flow. But there's also title splits, purchase lease options, there's buy, refurbish, refinance, and I've got projects in all of those now ongoing, which is what has enabled me to, and again, all with investor finance, none of them putting any of my own money in. So in the last 6 months, I've raised around £400,000 in investor finance for my projects. So I've got title splits, I've got two deals, one in Devon and one in Cornwall. So you were saying about where are your properties based, mostly in the northwest, but with my equity-based property experience now that I've got, I'm basically looking all over the country or all over the Great Britain, to be honest. I'm not even all in England. So I've got a title split, which is a block of flats in Devon. So it's six flats all on one freehold title. And it's effectively a paperwork exercise to split the titles into six leaseholds. And what that does is add value to the property, because instead of being like one property worth 500,000, then it's six properties with the individual values when you add them all up are 870,000. So it adds £370,000 worth of equity into the property just by splitting the titles. And you know when you get your title deed plans from your solicitors where you've got the red line around the outside of your house? So effectively, you get six of those, one for each flat. Okay. And so I've been working with architects, I've been working with solicitors, agents, and sourcing deal sources as well. So these were obtained through a deal sourcer. So so that one I've got a joint venture partner. I prepared an investor presentation to present to investors. And I wanted my coach and mentor to look through it first to see whether it was okay or whether he had any suggestions. And he was so impressed with it. He said he offered me £120,000 to do the project, basically.
Wow!
So
that wasn't the full raise, though, was it? I mean, you say $400,000.
$500,000 is the purchase price. But the way that we're doing it then is to get a bridging loan. So you get a bridging loan. The costs you need, so for this one, the costs I needed were the sourcing fee, which was £30,000. Right. Need valuation fees, legal fees, stamp duty, all that sort of stuff. That's the cost that I need. But the money you can actually borrow from a broker is actually almost all, or it is all of the property value.
Right.
So all the money that I need at the moment is the money to enable the project to happen. Right. The actual project costs itself are being paid for from a bridging loan. Now, bridging loans typically are really expensive and they charge about 1% a month. Yeah. So on a £500,000 loan, it's £5,000 a month.
Yeah.
But we've got a one-day bridge. So we're going straight onto term lending, onto mortgage after the first day. So the interest payments are very low. And it will be straight on a mortgage. So then we will own the equity or 25% of the equity in the property.
So let me just, again, you're impressing me with all these property words. I mean,
sorry,
swallowed a property dictionary before you started this podcast. But this property that you got, this six flats, you say? Six flats in Devon. Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely place. But the point is that, are you selling those flats straight away, or is somebody already in there? How does that work? Are you just bumping up their rental to you? You've gone from a 500,000 property purchase thing to an 850,000 valuation of those properties based on those apartments, but there's people in there, and you're saying, good news, you can stay. Bad news, you're going to pay me a bit more money. Is that broadly how it works?
That is true, yeah. We are going to, because the rents are well below the market value at the moment.
Yeah.
So we are going to be...
They won't see that, will they? Because they're from Devon.
Yeah, yeah. They've been, happily paying like really cheap rents for a long time. So, yeah. But they're going to be either shocked, but we'll give the option, we'll raise them in line with the market value and give the option to either stay or move elsewhere if they want to move elsewhere.
Sure.
If they do move elsewhere, then I'd look at setting those up as serviced accommodation as well and having those flats as online travel agents like Airbnb and Booking.com and make even more money than they could make in rental income.
Mm.
So that's the plan with those. But the plan with them is to buy and hold, really. So their long-term equity growth, we'll have about, or between myself and my business partner. So the deal that I did with him was that if he got all of his, if he left up to £35,000 in the deal, then he would get 40% of the equity in the properties and 40% of the profit.
Yeah.
And I would get 60%. If he gets all of his money back out, and it's done within 6 months, which it should be, then his share reduces to 20%. So I get 80% of the equity and 80% of the rental income for doing the deal.
Wow.
So the equity in this project is about, I think, 250,000, something like that, that'll be left after the costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I effectively could get between, £150,000 sort of thing of
Give or
equity
take.
in the property and a few hundred pound a month rental income forever for doing the deal.
I bet you're gutted about giving up that job that you used to do, aren't you?
I am,
What's
yeah.
just out of interest, what kind of line of work? You don't have to tell us a company or anything, but what kind of line of work were you in?
I was in engineering for the majority of my career,
Right.
but the last role that I was doing, I've been engineering managers, head of manufacturing engineering for like GKN over in the Netherlands.
Right,
But
okay.
the last year that a job was the last job that I did was in the last year was as a principal contractor for a health and safety company.
Okay.
So looking after health and safety on major facility installations in Bentley and Crewe.
Not unhelpful when it comes to sort of the skills that you might need in your role, though. Because if you're
Yeah.
talking about health and safety and you're talking about where people live, it's kind of important, especially if you're the landlord.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Dan, when it comes to, you've mentioned a few times investors raising money.
Yes.
Where are you going to find these investors?
I'm basically just documenting my property journey on social media, and people are seeing that and then reaching out to me and saying, "Oh, this looks really interesting. You know, I'd like to get involved. Is there any way I can get involved?" and things like that. So, and this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast today, to be honest,
Our
to
fee's
get the
quite
message
modest, to be
out
honest.
there.
Yeah, no, but no, it's completely sensible to do that. Completely sensible. So, just picking up on Kevin's point, you're on social media sharing your journey. That's kind of an influencer thing, isn't it? You know, today I am going up some ladders and fixing a window or something. I mean, at the end of the day, whatever it is you're doing during the day and you're sharing the ideas as you're doing today, it's quite a smart thing to do, particularly for somebody who's maybe a couple of chapters behind you. And it's or somebody who's a couple of chapters behind or a couple of chapters ahead and is looking for a reasonable person to put money into. So, you know, these investors, when they reach out to you, how much money do you take off them?
The most I've taken off an individual investor is, like, as I said, there's Chris put in up to £120,000. I've got £50,000 off some, but a typical investment can be as little as like £6,000 to £10,000.
Yeah.
So it's quite
Okay.
accessible for most people who have got a bit of savings, really.
And
And
what kind of return will they get after, say, a year or 2 years, whenever you, what's the exit from their point of view?
yeah, so, well, just for an example, the rent to rents that we're doing in Chester are on a 3 year lease. The way they have structured that deal is the joint venture partners have given me £10,000. I'm giving them 70% of the profits until their £10,000 is paid back, which should be about 11 months, something like that, on the current performance, because we're getting to profits wise around 1,000 to 1,300 for each of those properties. So they're getting about £700 to £900 a month back, really. So that £10,000 will be paid back in 11, 12 months.
Yeah.
And then for the remainder of the 3 year lease, we flip. It goes 70% to me and 30% to the investor. But that should still give them, so the original prediction on those properties were over the 3 year period, they would get £16,600 back, which is a 22% per annum return on investment, which is like about five times better than you can get in a high interest savings account, something like that. So it's really a good investment, really, for an
And you've not
investor.
blobbed in any way yet, or have you?
No, everything's been, we're actually, at the moment, we're outperforming that. It looks like it's going to be more like 30 to 40%. Return
Wow.
on investment, because the some of the contractors that we've got going direct bookings, so that's £500 a month for that each property over and above what I'd originally anticipated.
Yeah, you kind of got lucky there a bit, Dan. Although
I
I'd look,
agree,
you get
yeah,
your own
that,
luck though, don't you? Because I mean, you've
yeah.
spotted this, and you know, from a contractor's point of view, it's quite reasonable. I mean, everything's laid on for you; you don't have to. But I don't know. I I really like what you're doing. I think this, the idea of the investors getting anything north of 10% is good news. Anything north of 20%, but if you're north of 40%, wow, that is special. So, you know, I would say that you're onto something, and a lot more investors, I'm sure, would be interested in, you know, contacting you. How would they do that, Dan? I mean, what's the best way of contacting you?
So I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn.
There's 1,000 Dan Norcrosses, though. Isn't there?
Not many. I mean, one of them's a cricket commentator.
In Cheshire, then you're spitting in about 5 Dan Norcrosses. So you're all married and living with the same sort of, you know, I mean, your eyes are a little bit too close together. All that kind of stuff. No. Sorry. Go on. How do people find you?
Yeah. So the company name that I've been doing the rent to rents in is Regal Relocations. So you can see my website is regalrelocations.co.uk. Yeah. So there's a contact page on there. But if you want to get on my socials, then dan.norcross.10 is my Facebook handle, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And on LinkedIn, it's quite a long one, but it's Dan Norcross, Ing, Mimeki, Miod is my name on there. So
okay,
but I'm going to be losing all those letters because none of them are really relevant anymore. So it's
this is when your LinkedIn profile has to change dramatically because it's no longer there because of your sort of 9-to-5 job 7 days a week that you've been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Brand new, you've got to start thinking completely again.
Yeah. Well, I have been rebranding that for the last sort of like 9-10 months, to be honest. Anyway, I've been, you know, documenting my property stuff on there, and I didn't see it as like a CV now to get another job. I see it as a way of communicating what I'm doing,
yeah,
and attracting potential investors, landlords, and anyone else that might be helpful for me along the journey, really.
Yeah.
You seem to me a combination of Kevin and I, in a sense, because I'm more of a marketer. Kevin's more of he's a marketer, but he's more of a sort of a finance guy and knows the numbers and so forth. And you've shown on this podcast up until now an ability to sort of think from a marketing point of view, your social media, the way in which you're presenting yourself, etc. You're reaching out, but also the numbers side. And the deal structure and so forth, things that I know that Kevin is kind of home ground for him. So you've kind of got a blend of both of us, which is quite interesting. I don't know if you noticed that, Kevin, earlier, but for me, you are a kind of a combination of a marketer and as well as a finance guy. You have to be, otherwise in your game, if you get it wrong, you could be on the hook for quite a lot of money.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So that deal structure, which is what you're getting taught by this course, presumably, or at least they'll give you the guardrails there. Is that really helpful to you? Because whoever is helping you, you know, they're going to stop you falling off of a cliff if you've got the wrong kind of deal. But like you said, is this, you've kind of got the investor bit is the front bit, and then it flips to you. That just makes so much sense, because then you can build quite a lot of money coming into you, which then funds the next project. You know, so it's quite clever, really. I've got to say, I'm impressed.
Yeah. So the coaches don't give us an exact structure of how to do it. They give us sort of the templates for the loan agreements and the contractual sort of side of things.
Right.
But they let us do our own sort of like creative thinking of how to structure the deals and things like that. So yeah, I came up with that myself, that one. I think it's been done before, but it's something that I just thought would be a good way of attracting investors, really, which without them I don't do any deals. So you know, that's so they're really important to me. So
yeah, no,
so
absolutely.
There's the Dan at the moment with 6 properties and other business things going on. But now, we did ask you earlier, do you see this as Dan with 60 projects? And you started talking about lots of different things.
Yeah.
The model you've got at the moment for attracting investors, is that going to scale along with your ambitions?
Definitely, yeah. I'm trying to reach out now to high net worth individuals instead of getting £10,000. So on the Scotland project that I'm doing, so I didn't mention that one before, I'm doing a purchase lease option on a hotel in Scotland. So I'm going to effectively do, well, it's like a rent to rent to start with. It's renting the property for £2,500 a month, with the option to buy it for £300,000 at any time in the next 7 years. So what I've done with that, I have got £140,000 of investment, 10,000 from 10 people and 20,000 from two people. And some of those are individuals, some of them are companies, some of the people I used to work with, some of them are companies I used to work with, some of them are old friends, some of them are mentees from the mentorship program, just people that have been, following my journey really, have all been interested. And I've got 28 people now on a WhatsApp group that have all shown an interest of being an investor with me. Most of those have invested with me now as well. So my next step is really to do bigger and better projects. So that deal there, the investors will get about 50% return on investment over 4 years. So that what I've committed to on that is that I treble their money. So if they put a 10,000 investment in, that they will get they I'll keep paying them until they get 30,000 back, effectively. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm giving them a 5% share of the profits for a 10,000 investment, which the plan for the property is to rent it out as an Airbnb, booking.com, so a short-term let for large families or group stays. It's up in the Scottish Highlands. It's 6 miles from a ski resort. It's on the Whiskey Trail. It's in the Cairngorms, so it's great for wildlife, trekkers, cyclists. It's great for, lots of different groups, and I'm going to market the hell out of it basically when I get up there. But it needs some work doing to it. So I went up and viewed it about a month ago, and it needs six new bathrooms, redecoration throughout, new carpets throughout. So it needs about £70,000 spending on it, and I'm going to spend that on someone else's property because we won't own it at the time when we do that work. And then the other 70,000. So I was looking originally at potentially packaging the deal and selling it on to somebody else because it's worth about £700,000 over the next 7 years. But I thought, how could I still be involved in the project? It was too good to give away, really. So I wanted to keep involved in the project. So I came up with this idea of like giving shares away of the 5% of the profits for £10,000. So I've got 140,000, which is 70% of the profits, which means I'll get to keep 30% of the profits myself. So I've sold the deal for £70,000 effectively as well, which is what I would have got for selling the deal. So I've sold the deal and kept 30% of it, which is pretty good. And then when I come to in a couple of about 18 months, 2 years' time, what I'm going to do is get a commercial valuation of that property. And that's not a bricks and mortar valuation. That'll be a what the business is worth, not what the property's worth. And effectively, it should be bringing in about £100,000 a year. So it's typically on a 8 to 12% factor for calculation of a commercial valuation. So say it's 10%. That means that that property will be worth £1 million, or that business is worth £1 million. So I'm going to get a 60% loan to value mortgage, which is £600,000. I'm going to pay off the owner £300,000, split the other £300,000 between myself and the investors, so they get 70% of it. I'll get a little 90 grand bonus just for sorting it out, and then they get so a £10,000 investment. When I do that, they'll get a 15,000 boost to their repayments basically, and that's why I'm doing the 30,000. So they're going to get monthly income from the property, and then a 15,000 boost when I refinance, and then monthly income until their investment is trebled.
This is not a retail level investment, as you mentioned earlier, and a lot of people come to me because they want to find high net worth individuals. That's one of my businesses, and that basically is something that I do pretty much every day. But this is you said you'll have people who will put in 10,000, maybe 6 to 10,000, I think you said, and so basically they're not necessarily high net worth individuals. But how do you cope with the fact that they're still putting up a lot of their money when they're not necessarily signing themselves off as a high net worth investor or a sophisticated investor. So how do you square that one? Do you have to market your opportunities to high net worth individuals, or you just want to because probably they've got more money?
I want to, because if I had more money at my disposal, I could do more of the title split deals, which would be beneficial for them and me as well. So, and bigger deals as well, really. So the deals I'm doing now are much bigger than a rent to rent deal. Although there are much bigger deals out there as well. There's a property I'm looking at the moment, which is a manor house and 14 acres of land and a couple of other outbuildings and stuff, and that's 3 million. But I might need 250,000 to do that deal, and it's going to be a real pain if I did it, going through getting £10,000 off 25 people. It'd be much easier and better to get £250,000 off one person and give them all the returns that they're going to get, from that project, sort of thing. So,
I can understand that. I mean, a lot of people come to me with investment opportunities, and they're often around the sort of 25 to 50 mark. So you might have, but yes, you'd have to have 10 of those chaps. But the thought occurs to me, Dan, and it's only a thought, and it sounds to me that you're doing extremely well. But this next project is a step up. And you said earlier that one of your coaches, your coach said that, stick with what you know until you master it. Now, either you say you've said to yourself, I've mastered it and I'm moving on, or moving up, or whatever, taking on a bigger risk, or is there a sort of a niche for somebody with your skills where you can take on maybe more projects, but at the more manageable level?
The thing of taking smaller projects for me is it takes as much as my time to do a smaller project as it does to do a bigger project. So I don't. That's why I'm looking at the next level now, really. I'm thinking, these title split deals, there's literally hundreds of thousands of profit potentially in them, which are much bigger than a little rent to rent deal, but it's.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, we're all of our time's running out in a sense as you get older. And in your case, I wouldn't be buying a Christmas tree if I was you. You'd be wasting money. But no, I'm only kidding. All that pressure you're
He's a
putting on
youngster
yourself.
compared to you, Arrowsmith.
What's that again?
He's a mere youngster compared to you,
Well,
Arrowsmith.
I know he is. But the good news is that you're doing. What I'm really impressed with is the way in which your investors. They must l worship you.
There are some that do, they
I
love
mean,
it.
and it strikes me that you're really helping them effectively, have more security in their lives because of the investment they're making in your life and the things that you're doing. Is there a downside to this? Is there something that, this could all go to it could all go wrong quickly. Is this something that you have to tell yourself every day, look, avoid doing this?
Not at the moment. I think the way that I've structured the things, I'm doing all my due diligence. So all my decisions are based on, and this is comes from my engineering background, facts, evidence, and data. So I don't see any of them as massive risks, really, to be honest. They're all calculated, and understood of what the potential is on each of these deals. So I've just bought another. So last week I exchanged contracts on a buy, refurbish, refinance project, which is a house which is very much below market value from a motivated seller. The value of it on the open market is about £170,000, and I've bought it for 104,000 pounds. So I'm getting that on a bridging loan. I'm going to do the refurb and then keep it and get contractors in there. So that's in Ellesmere Port. So it's not far from where the contractors are. But again, that's going to be about another 1,500 to 200,000 pounds, 2,000 pound a month of income, just by, and I'll probably leave potentially around £10,000 in that deal. So I'm starting to look at using some of my own funds now as well. I'd
And
leave
the
about
entity that you
10,000 in there, but I'll get that back in 5 6 months, and then
and
it's
the
all
entity,
profit.
Dan, is a company that you're that it you know you this is going into a company as opposed to into Dan Norcross etc. Because you obviously you the income that's coming in makes you a limited company, except presumably, and so therefore paying yourself comes from dividends and other ways like that. But effectively, presumably, that's your modus, is it?
Yeah. So all of these have been done through limited companies or special purpose vehicles in some cases. So the title split ones have got the myself and the investor as directors of the company and shareholders. And then the others, they're within my company. So I've got 3-4 other companies at the moment that I'm using for these things. So my accountant's bill is going to be an absolute nightmare at the end of the year. I tell you, it's going to be shocking.
He'll be listening to this thinking, oh, crikey, how am I going to make it? I might waive my fee for an investment in one of your at the end of the day, you're in a great position to barter, aren't you, in a way? Because you know you could bring them in as an investor. But Dan, we've kind of run out of time here. Is there any other thing that you wanted to get across to potential investors or other people? Why should they be interested in Dan Norcross? I mean, you've already made your case, but if you could summarize it, elevator pitch.
Yeah, sure. Well, I've been doing this for not very long, but I think I've grasped it quite well, what I've been doing so far. I'm getting great returns on investment for investors. I'm helping people. I'm helping landlords get secure rent for their properties. I'm helping contractors find somewhere to live. One of the things on my website is that I try and create win-win scenarios in every opportunity or every project that I'm doing. And that's what I feel like I'm doing at the moment. In some case, win-win-win scenarios, because everyone's a winner in there.
Yeah. Well, I wish you well. I don't know about you, Kevin.
Definitely do. And I'm thinking about a past life as management consultant. Rent property, certain occasions where we've known there was a long-term job going on. But no, that's 6 months plus. Wish I'd known somebody like Dan where you could have got something on a shorter basis than that, because it's much better than staying in hotels.
Yeah,
wish you all the best, Dan.
Thank you very much.
And Dan, thank you very much for joining us on the next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you.
Was a really interesting podcast. I mean, we've talked about property investing before, but it's always been buy the property, flip the property, or hold the property and rent it.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of deals that Dan's doing there, they're mm-hmm. very, very interesting. And that just opened a whole new area to me. And naturally, there was no problem with us interviewing Dan through there, because there were so many questions come up with something like this is brand new to us. Curiosity kicks in, Graham.
It does. And it's it had me. It's this story click idea. I mean, you get it in a film at the beginning. You think, I know what the film's about. So after a couple of minutes or so, that's why those James Bond films start with this, big scene, etc. To get you hooked. And then you've kind of got an idea what the film's going to be about. But Dan had us in the first few minutes. It was these sort of deals that he was doing. It was like, oh, really? And then when you heard the kind of returns, very, very impressive, especially for somebody who's new. I think part of this, is not being beaten down by the property market. He's gone into it with some very clever, well-constructed deals that enable him and his investors and quite possibly the people consuming the products all to win. And that's really quite clever.
Indeed, yes. And the fact that there are things these days like Airbnb as a fallback if you're really getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work in every location, but some of those ones in Chester, really attractive near the race course and things like that. It's always a fallback option if you don't have the tenants.
Well, we're going to an Airbnb for a weekend in Bath. And so, we're going down there, and I'm looking forward to just a couple of days away, enjoying the lovely scenery. It's just the city centre is just, I've been a couple of times before, but basically it's a lovely place. So looking forward to it and enjoying a few days there. So on that property bombshell, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.